Leave your contact info for someone to reach out to you today. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will be glad you did. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today as we face the issues. We're talking about a subject, an issue that I believe should be vital for every Christian, every conservative, every patriot under the sound of my voice to recognize, adhere to, understand, and learn what is taking place, and to be able to pray and ask God to continue to divinely intervene, protecting Donald J. Trump, giving him wisdom, and giving wisdom to the justices that are in black robes that think that they have become gods as a result of being appointed for life. By the way, just a little, tidbit of information as I see it. I really believe that Supreme Court justices ought to be appointed for a 10-year or 20-year term, flat term, not life term, so that at least there is breathing room if we have a group, as we have today, that are ignorant of the Constitution or want to modify, modulate, change, and abridge the Constitution, as there seems to be a goal and a mindset to do so. I go back to what the Supreme Court Justice Anthony Scalia said in his statement. Of course, he's dead, 79 years old, found dead in the bed several years ago. I still have questions about what killed him, but anyway. He said, the Constitution that I interpret and apply is not a living, but dead, or as I prefer to call it, enduring. It means today what it currently, the current society, it means today not what the current society, much less the courts, think it ought to mean, but what it meant when it was adopted by our framers, end quote. That's a powerful statement. That's the same position we ought to take about the Bible. The Bible means today what it meant when God gave it to the men of old as they were born, B-O-R-N-E. That means to be carried along by the Holy Spirit. They wrote according to the Scripture. And so if God gave it to them, they wrote it. We have it today. Can God not understand the King James text? Is there some reason that we have? I've had people say, you know, you take Shakespeare, it's taught in the schools. You don't find anybody wanting to modify, modulate, change, and modernize the terms in Shakespeare, but you ever want to do that with the Word of God. It is simply an attempt to undermine, tear down, and destroy what God is saying to society today. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question and comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning, good morning.
Yes, I know your Resurrection Sunday was good. I just got like 3 questions, and I get off the air. Okay, how can these peons, excuse my language, judges try to override the president? I've never seen this. I'm like you. I'm a little less than 100. How can they do that? And number one, due process is due to citizens, mm-hmm. not non-citizens. Mm-hmm. Number 3, I saw a thing today where these parents are trying to get their kids out of the ABDQXYZ elementary schools and homeschool them, but they won't let them do it. It reminds me of Hitler, like the Hitler youth. They started at a young age. So they try to get them to start at a young age until my Billy got another daddy. A mommy got another mommy. Well, you know what I'm trying to say.
Kenneth, you're exactly right. Yes. One of the things we need to recognize and understand, and I think this needs to be tucked in at this juncture, even though we are getting major, major, major relief, and we're, as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we're ultimately thankful to God for placing Trump back in office and for the moves that he's trying his best to make to protect America. But at the same time, we have blue states, blue cities, and blue judges. When I use that term, I'm talking about those that are the loose likes, lost liberals, those that are on the fast track to hell and don't realize it, that are trying to tear down and destroy whatever Trump's trying to build up and do. We have cities and counties and states today that are trying to prevent parents from having any rights, any say-so in relationship to their child's education. And it's the Bible that says, train up a child, speaking to the parent, train up a child the way he should go. When he will have become old, he will not have departed from it. It's the parent's responsibility for that child's education, what type of education, where he goes to school, and what he's taught. And yet you're exactly right. We have educational systems across America that's trying to destroy the parent that questions. In fact, it was under the Biden administration with the DOJ, Merlin, what was his name? It was the Chief Justice of the DOJ at the time, that said that any parent that stands before the school board challenges the school board about what is being taught in the school, they're domestic terrorists. He was the one that had formulated out of the DOJ a 32-page document sent to the FBI to enforce it and to go in and collect up moms and dads, arrest them, try them, convict them, persecute and prosecute them for wanting to protect their child. We have that taking place today, and it is being hushed by the Marxist media and very little known in relationship to what is happening with that. I'm thankful, by the way, a footnote before I let you go, that in Arkansas, they just passed legislation, and the governor just signed it in Arkansas, that requires In God We Trust in all of the schools and in every classroom in Arkansas have the Ten Commandments posted on the wall. I believe that should take place across America.
Our governor did that. Right.
That's right.
That's how our governor was doing that also.
That's right. Absolutely. That should be a move across America. And it's my opinion, I've said it, I'm not originated the statement, but I'm quoting it. If we would have the Ten Commandments taught in our public school system, we'd have fewer people in prison, where we've got to spend millions of dollars of tax money trying to house them, train them, rehab them, and prevent them from being murderers and rapists and robbers when they get back out. So I believe it's time that we go back to the biblical basics, the fundamental foundations of not just our Bill of Rights, but the Word of God, the Bible. Kenneth, thank you for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Santiago's on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, God bless you, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you for the last week message every day.
Thank you.
I appreciate that for that. Listen, I believe that Senate ban is looking for publicity, because maybe he's running for next year. He don't do due process for that guy. He don't care about that guy. He's looking for a publicity for himself, like that people can talk about what he's doing. He's doing a great job, whatever, but he's not. He's looking for the only publicity for himself and try to put pressure in our president, try to think that whatever he's doing great, but it's not. What he's doing is, he don't do due process for nobody. He don't do process for himself. That's what I think that's what he's doing, Dr. Youngblood.
He's grandstanding. He wants the attention. He wants it to look as though, and he's nothing but what you'd call a bleeding heart liberal. He's not interested in due process. If he'd been interested in due process, he's in the Senate, he could have done something to salvage the lives and the hearts and the minds and the well-being of the J6ers that were put into concrete block cells of about 5x6 and left there to rot. And if President Trump hadn't been elected, they'd still be in prison with zip zero, no due process. So he's not interested in due process. It's grandstanding. And now it's some group of 60, 70 others, Democrats that are wanting to, are already planning, already having flown to El Salvador to do the same thing. It's grandstanding, and you can roll the dial with the socialist Marxist media and find them using the same terminology, the same words, the same planning strategy, and it's as a result of the getting together of the Democrats. They've already said that some 60 or 70 of them get together every day to do the planning of how to obstruct what President Trump is doing. I'm looking at an article. Congresswoman admits Democrats meet every single week to plot and plan lawfare against Trump. California Democrat Republican Representative Laura Freedman has admitted that the House Democrats are coordinating every single week with far-left state attorney generals across America to weaponize the justice system against President Trump and his America First agenda. And it goes on, they call themselves the Litigation Working Group or the Shadow Government. Comprised of 75 sitting members of Congress. So that's the answer to what they're doing. You're exactly right. They're not interested in America. They're not interested in a new process. It's grandstanding to try to get the attention of the general public that doesn't know any better, that will embrace them and want to vote for them. It is a sad, sad shame. Santiago, thank you so much for your call. Keep praying, keep looking up, asking God to intervene. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. This is nothing more than heartstring politics here for the liberal yeah. side. If you look at the number of people that crossed into the into the United States over the previous administration there, let's just say an even 10 million, even though we both know it's higher than that. Writs of habeas corpus and due process for 10 million individuals in the current court system will never happen. For any, for even a percentage of those, just for the sheer number. So it's completely disingenuous that they're using this argument. That senator originally went down there to get that Maryland father back up here. And once he was ridiculed upon his return, his story changed from bringing a Maryland father back home to I'm fighting for the rights and writs of habeas corpus for all people of the United States. I want to know where the justice is at to hold accountable the administration prior to this that allowed these individuals to come into the country unvetted. Nobody's talking about that. And an individual has no right to habeas corpus or due process if they are here illegally.
Okay, exactly right. Exactly right. But yet, Jim, you know and I know what the black-robed gods, little gods, are trying to do. It's trying to say that, and this is Van Hollen's scream and cry, this is socialist Marxist media that's screaming and crying that these illegal invaders need due process. Due process, according to our framers of the Constitution, is set up simply for the citizens that it applies to, not for the, if they come in illegally, break the law, they're lawbreakers the time they come in, then they rape, rob, they pillage, and they destroy the lives and the well-being of the citizens of America. And if we got about 22 million that came in illegally under the Biden administration, and with some 530,000 now that Trump is trying to deport. And as you said, if they take each one, and they've got to have a day in court, as it would be called under the Van Hollen mindset of due process, if they got to have that, it takes some 40 or 50 years in order to go through, and if you had a case every day, say 40 to 50 years to do the 530,000, they'd never be sent back. That's the bottom line.
No. No, absolutely not. I believe this is just nothing more than their obstruction of justice. Their resistance per se for the to bring this out till, and hopefully they can strike a match and try to win the House in 2026. I'm not impressed by any of their arguments. I've got one thing to say. Amy Coney Barrett has not been very conservative when it comes to these rulings as well. I don't think it's going to fare well in the Supreme Court, especially this last where they upheld not allowing the administration to deport Venezuelans, and then turned around with a following ruling that says that they can't infringe upon the executive powers. That was just a duplicitous statement by the Supreme Court.
Well, it's fascinating. They're ruling from the knee-jerk desires of woke culture today and not ruling from the standpoint of what the Constitution says as the framers intended it when it was given to us. If the Constitution, under due process, had been adhered to under the Biden administration, we would not have had the J6ers rotting in jail with no due process. They were not adjudicated by a court as being guilty, and therefore let's process them, put them in jail for so many years or whatever. Their lives, their freedom, was taken away from them as a result of just simply being in the Capitol building. And by a false, phony J6 committee, considered to be, how would you say, violent insurrectionists with no weapons. It's the first insurrection I've ever read about in history where the insurrectionists were not armed, but yet going to take over a nation. I find it laughable, if not sad. Jim, you're exactly right.
I would agree.
Exactly right. We need to keep praying and recognizing that we need to ask God to intervene. But I'll run one other little point by you. When I look at Deuteronomy, fourth chapter and the second verse, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. That's also found in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, verse 5 and 6. It's also found in two other places in the scripture, especially in Revelation 22:19. And yet we find Malachi 3:6, four places in the Bible that it says you cannot change the word of God. And yet we find multitudes today wanting to have the revised version, reverse slanted version, or the modern versions, not real translations even, and going by that, we're doing the same thing with our Constitution today, or the mindset of wanting to do the same thing. And the judges are doing that. Just as we find those that are voodoo theologists, that is cotton candy theology and kitchen theology, all blended together, making what I call voodoo theology, and to come up with voodoo theology because of changing the words of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We're attempting to do the same thing with the Constitution today. What say you?
I would agree with that statement thoroughly. There also the Revelation of John, the last two verses in there are a strict warning about adding and subtracting. There's also other warnings in the New Testament as well about using the Word of God against or for personal profit or gain. And these individuals that are doing this with the Constitution, which was founded or instituted by our founding fathers for a nation under God, and God was very relevant in the founding of the Constitution there. It's a shame that these individuals are trying to do this, and it's nothing more than, it's hypocrisy on their part, and for them to look at this document and say it's not relevant in today's date and time whenever it is our founding document and what our nation is predicated on.
Absolutely. And I believe that if we are continuing down the road of watering down, modifying, abridging, and changing our Constitution, we're seeing no less with the Word of God. We're in trouble as a people, as a nation. But, Jim, thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up.
God bless you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We've got just a couple of lines coming in, so if you call and it's busy, call back. 904-831-0917. Would love to hear from you. We're talking about today a subject that I believe is an issue that I believe is very imperative, the call for due process. Should the Socialist Marxist Communist Party have due process? Should the illegal invaders coming in to America have due process? Is that what our Constitution was set up for? And yet we have those fearmongers on television. I'm looking at an article of MSNBC. Says the headline says, MSNBC host says black American citizens are next in line for deportation if allowed to continue. MSNBC anchor Simone Sanders claimed on Saturday that the deportation of a Salvadorian citizen and suspected MS-13 gang member was just one step on the road toward President Trump's administration deporting black American citizens. Sanders began with an article written by the Nation's earlier in the week with the author that had suggested the deportation of criminal aliens, designated terrorists, and gang members effectively heralded the fall of democracy in the United States and argued that people of color and vulnerable communities are next in line to be deported. Now, it couldn't be any more asinine than that. It is a stupid statement made to fearmonger, and it's I watched the clip on television as this was being said. She said that what we're seeing now with the lawlessness from the Trump administration are really the canaries in the coal mine gasping for air. She continued, I'm paraphrasing here, but to me, that is why Garcia, specific case, the case of the gentleman who makes up the artist of our California, who was also sent that same prison, that's what the more than 75% of the folks who have been sent, the men who have been sent part there, they don't have criminal records. That is why it's so important to understand that we could be next in line. And when she said that on the television clip, she said, we, I'm speaking of people of color that will be next in line for Trump to deport. Ladies and gentlemen, it's fear-mongering. It's trying to make a case for the ones that have come in the back door, the ones that are the illegal invaders, to be afforded the right to stay in America, even though they've broken the law to come. And multitudes of them that Trump is deporting and sending back first and foremost are those that are rapists, robbers, thugs, if you please, that have come into America with the mindset that I can take what I want, do what I want, and there's no law that's going to change or do anything about it. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a headline. Democrat governor facing probe for obstructing Trump's immigration crackdown. They're suspected of obstructing federal immigration enforcement. Quote, I'm unfortunately going to announce to you on the show tonight that I want it to be a warning for everybody that I've instructed my office today to open an investigation into Governor Murphy, to open an investigation into Attorney General Plotkin, that has also instructed the state police not to assist in any of our federal agencies that are under my direction. This is from Alina Haba. The trigger for the announcement was the order by the state official that their state officers are not permitted to enforce civil immigration enforcement and enforcing administrative warrants issued by federal immigration authorities without a court order. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're finding is that one part of the loose likes lost liberals, the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party, is saying that we're not going to enforce any law. We're simply becoming a law in and of ourselves. We're going to make a decision who can stay and who can go. We're going to make a decision, not the president, on protecting America. We're going to make the decision on whether or not we enforce the laws that are already on the books. And we're going to take the laws that are on the books and try to compare them with our Constitution and say somehow, some way, they're not in alignment. Ladies and gentlemen, when we look at what is said in relationship to our due process as we talk about it, I'm looking at one headline. Originalism is a primer on Scalia's constitutional philosophy. Let me read it. I touched on it earlier. Supreme Court Antonin Scalia defined originalism this way, quote, the Constitution that I interpret and apply is not living but dead, or as I prefer to call it, enduring. It means today not what current society, much less the courts, think it ought to mean, but what it meant when it was adopted by our framers. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the way we should read the Bible. That's the way we should look at the Constitution. That's the way we should interpret what the Word of God says, and that's the way we should interpret what the Constitution says. Now, I'm looking at another article. Due process rights of non-citizens in the United States. The constitutional basis, this writer says, for due process, the Fifth Amendment of the United States The Constitution states, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. This provision ensures that the federal government cannot arbitrarily deny individuals the right, and it's talking about individual citizens, without legal proceedings. And ladies and gentlemen, it was never believed, never considered, never even thought possible with our framers of the Constitution that we would have a loose likes lost liberal communist in the Oval Office that will just simply open the borders and let anybody come in. That was never considered as a potential possibility for the United States of America civil governance to be carried out in that fashion. So that's what we're faced with today. We have due process that is for every citizen, but that due process, listen, if you break a law, you ought to pay the price as a penalty. These illegal invaders have broken the law when they come into the back door. They've broken the law when they said, with these socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats that say they're not going to adhere to the law, they're not going to enforce the immigration laws, but at the same time saying we want to enforce the due process clause in our Constitution by wrenching it out of its context and saying that it applies to these invaders that have come in raping, robbing, and pillaging in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, due process is for every citizen in the United States of America. Those that have broken the law coming in need to face the judge in relationship to the law. I'm looking at a headline. Alito calls the Supreme Court block of the Venezuelan gang deportation legally questionable. The High Court shunned normal procedure in blocking the removals. Justice Samuel Alito said in a dissent joined by Justice Clarence Thomas. The Supreme Court Alito filed a strongly worded dissent from the court's order issued on April the 19th that temporarily blocked President Trump's administration from deporting alleged numbers of the Venezuelan criminal gang. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes further saying the dissenting opinion, which was joined by Justice Clarence Thomas, was posted on the court's website on April the 20th. Quote, in sum, literally in the middle of the night, the court issued an unprecedented and legally questionable relief without giving the lower courts a chance to rule, without hearing from the opposing party within 8 hours of receiving the application with dubious factual support for its order and without providing any explanation for the order, Alito said. I refuse to join the court's decision because we have no good reason to think that under the circumstances, issuing an order at midnight was necessary or even appropriate or legal. Ladies and gentlemen, due process, yes, according to our Constitution, it's afforded to every citizen, United States of America, ought not to be wrenched out of context to be applied to an illegal invader coming into our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.